Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
The following is a live copyrighted presentation. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time now for RadioLawTalk.com with your host, Frederick Penny, attorney at law. And now, RadioLawTalk.com.
Good morning, everyone. We are halfway through the year 2023. I cannot believe it. It is July 1st. 6 months are in the books. It feels like it was January 1st just yesterday, but no, that was 180 days ago, thereabouts. And welcome to the July 1st edition of Radio Law Talk. I'm Todd Kunin, sitting in for both, well, sitting in the big chair for both Fred Penny, who's on assignment, and Denise Dirks, who is on assignment.
So now this is the sixth month. Does that mean we won't be 6 months until the end of July, because that's the beginning of the seventh, right?
Well, hold on. All of January, February, March, April, May, June.
Oh, yeah, okay, you're right.
This is the beginning of the seventh month.
Wow.
So
how about that, huh?
Cal, did you just try to pull a math? Did you just try to debunk my math?
It was a bad mistake.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know, look, I was a foreign language major in college. They didn't make me take math.
January.
Yeah, Cal's out there going, all right, I'm going to have to pull off my socks to use my toes to count. That voice you hear is Cal Hunter. Cal, how you doing?
You know, Todd, I'm well, thank you. Had a great week. I'm going to San Diego after this to go see some great-grandchildren. Very excited about that. Okay, that would be a lie.
Aren't all of your grandchildren great? I mean, are you singling them out?
Honest answer, yes.
Yes, yes, of course they are. This is a recorded show, right? Yes, they're all awesome.
Yeah, they're all wonderful, every last one of them, yeah. So it'll be fun. That'll be a good adventure. A lot of miles on the hybrid, you know, but that's good. That's what we do.
Driving down to San Diego.
Isn't that crazy?
Holy Toledo. Well, I know. Good luck, and you know, brave the heat. Well,
it was grandma's idea.
I don't know what the heat's going to be like in Southern California. We are in our neck of the woods up here. I got the emergency alert. You know, here we are, Northern California, where our studios are at. I got the emergency alert telling me that to expect temperatures between 110 and 115 over this weekend.
The all-time record in the Redding, California, where I live, is 118 degrees, and it was that for 7 days in a row. It was hot.
Yeah.
Nothing cooled down ever, even at night. Not even your car. The thermostat wouldn't even close back up. It was just hot the whole time. It was nasty.
We ought to notice the new landlord's coming by. It's Satan. We're living in hell. That explains why it's so hot.
I missed the whole Judgment Day thing and went straight to my destiny.
Yeah, well, you know, and that's where, okay, we're going to bring this back. That's where, dang it, I deserve due process. So we brought it back to the law.
Your Honor, please help me.
Yes, yes, yes.
And then, of course, the judge says, well, that's fine. Just
show me the money.
You got the money, we can talk, right? So, Todd, how are you? You've been a busy man. You've been calling a lot of baseball games and doing a lot of legal work. You're just a busy guy.
I've been busier than a one-legged man in a butt-kicking contest this last week. Yeah, we got about an hour drive, 45-minute to an hour drive every time I do a baseball game, play-by-play, Marysville Drakes, shout-out to them. And
how about them Drakes, huh?
And it had a couple of games this week, and last night was one of them. So, yeah, dragging a little bit and working full-time. So
now, is a Drake a male duck?
It's a duck.
I mean, is a female duck a hen? I don't know.
I have no idea. I just know that our mascot is a duck. And well, we have a guy on the team named Drake. So,
shush, you do not.
We do.
I love Drake
Ayala from Texas.
Now batting for the Drakes. Here's Drake. Yeah, yeah.
You couldn't script it any better.
Yeah,
it's been a little busy, but I'll tell you, I was looking over the topics for this week. And
Speaking of busy, you could be a Supreme Court justice. You'd be busy.
This is the time of year when they start dropping all of the opinions from the arguments that they heard previously in the year. And And last week, between last week and this week, there's some interesting ones. One, all right, what do you do when two people are on trial for the same crime? One person has made a statement or a confession. Can that statement be used against the other person they're charged with when neither one of them take the witness stand? We'll see what the Supreme Court says on that.
So are you saying that the other person's confession implicated the other defendant?
Absolutely.
Wow. Okay.
Absolutely. Hmm. And on this particular case, in doing research, interesting tie-in to the origin of Bitcoin, and I'll get
really?
To that. Yes. What else is Supreme Court? Big decision on whether or not schools can use race-based criteria in admissions, and that is, let's just say that's upset things at Harvard and the University of North Carolina.
And you know, California has had that law for several years, and the race-based admissions in the California State University system have actually gone up as far as the minorities they were seeking. Is that have actually gone up, and that was what I read yesterday anyway.
Yeah.
So it will be interesting to see how all of this works out.
What about keeping the Sabbath day holy?
All for it.
Somebody decides that, hey, you know, I need to be able to exercise my religious freedom. There's a case that came down from the Supreme Court that talks about that as well, that right in particular. What
so
else
for
do we?
Seventh Day Adventist and a Jewish person, that would be Saturday, right?
That's,
and some
correct.
Fundamentalists, just people who believe that, and others, it would be Sunday.
Yeah.
And wow, so is this an employer accommodation thing we're talking about?
Well, it arises out of an employer claiming they couldn't make an accommodation or that it was. That they didn't have to comply with it. By the way, the employer happened to be the United States Postal Service.
Wow.
Also, we've got, well, the case that won't go away, you know about the Rust case, the tragedy that happened on the set of the movie Rust in New Mexico with Alec Baldwin. And we have an update, a couple of updates about who are the remaining players and what is the status of the investigation. But also, most importantly, we have case or no case.
We do.
Cal, we're coming up here. What I'd like to do is maybe you can give us a tease as far as the...
Sure, I can.
As far as the topic is concerned.
Yep.
For those of you, case or no cases, where Cal tries to throw out a case to stump the panel. Today it's a panel of one. To see if the scenario he gives is actually a case or something he made up. And if it is a case, what the outcome is.
So on case or no case, coming up next, a president of the United States who said, I don't belong in the White House even as a visitor, and who wrote salty letters, shall we say, to a woman with whom he was having an affair. What became of those letters? Did his family want them in the open or hidden? And were they willing to fight for their view? That's coming up on case or no case after we break.
Oh, my. Well, so
by the way, extra point if you can tell me between now and we start the break who the president might be.
I have to keep track of these. I write the topics down because we post all of our shows about 2 or 3 days later. They're posted and they're searchable webcasts or podcasts on all of the podcast streaming services. And now I've got to come up with a catchy title for this case or no case, and I'm really trying to resist the case of the salty president. That just sounds wrong in and of itself. But
and yet that's exactly what it is.
Oh, lovely. Marvelous. Well, you know, I'm working on my blood pressure, so I'll try to remove as much sodium as I can from
Fair
my
enough.
Diet.
Fair enough. All right. So we will break away in a minute, and that's coming up on case or no case. And what case will we talk about after that when we get back, Todd?
Well, after that, when we come back, I think we're going to get right into some of these Supreme Court cases. I really, really like this one about the co-defendant statements. So
yeah.
We'll take a look at that and then just move it the way it goes. And if you have a comment, a question, or concern, we don't give legal advice, feel free to call us. Cal, Chief Cook and Bottle Washer, will take your call. You can call us at 1-855-529-7234. That's 855-529-7234. We'd be happy to hear you weigh in.
Yeah. Want to hear what you think about what we're talking about on Radio Law Talk, which continues after we take our first break of the big broadcast on July 4th, Independence Day weekend. We'll be back on Radio Law Talk.
commercials and other announcements aired on Radio Law Talk contain the opinions of the sponsor. The airing of said announcements on Radio Law Talk does not constitute an endorsement. The announcements may contain claims that are not intended to treat, diagnose, or cure any disease.
These claims have not been evaluated by the FDA.
I've got to get my car washed. This dirt, it just won't do.
Best thing about Quick Cut Car Wash is whenever you go through, the smell on your car is always great, and they have super fun lights and colors.
But I don't have no time today. I don't know what I do.
Your car smells good and it's clean at Quick Cut Car Wash.
And I know this place right down the road.
Quick Cut Car Wash.
Quick Cut Car Wash.
Get the Quick Cut confidence.
Hop inside, let's take a ride and watch.
Get the Quick Quack habit. Take a car once a week.
Just come and see. I guarantee your ride will steal the show.
I like Quick Quack because of the mascot, Quackles.
Come on, Quick Quack Car.
So we sell unlimited membership for per vehicle. You can add a family plan and add an additional vehicle at a discounted rate.
Don't drive that dirty car. Uh-huh. Quick Quack Car. They'll have you looking sharp. Well, come on.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0940. 800-670-0940. 800-670-0940. That's 800-670-0940.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperT.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track. Not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
Radio Law Talk. I like that show.
You're listening to Radio Law Talk. And now back to the show.
We're back. Cal is going to try to stump me. Cal, before you give Before you lay down the scenario here for case and no case, let's go over the ground rules just a little bit, because typically when one or more of the regular co-hosts are gone, you award double points. It's how I've won the last three rounds.
I think we'll do point and a half. You get all correct, you get three. If you get the name of the president in this case, you will get double points. It'll be worth 6 points for you on this particular puzzle.
Okay. All right,
six
go ahead.
Points. And if you're ready, we're going to jump right in and tell folks maybe they can listen.
Now it's time to play Case or No Case.
Yay!
This president was among the worst presidents in the United States by his own admission. He was corrupt, inept, and by his own admission did not belong in the White House even as a visitor. I'm not making that part up. He is not the most beloved of American presidential people. From 1948 to 1962, they ranked him as the least effective ever in the relatively modern presidential era. He died in the White House from a heart attack and was replaced by Silent Cal, Calvin Coolidge, and 15 years in the Senate, and while seeking his term of president, he carried on a torrid affair with a woman named Carrie Fulton Phillips. They wrote tawdry letters back and forth to each other in which the president gave pet names to his and her body parts. I'm not making this up. True story. And after he ran for president, she threatened to expose him if he did not somehow treat her with a plum government job, which she got. And then after he died, his family said, we don't want these letters to be public. These are private correspondence, even though he was in public office. We want the letters to be blocked. They went to a lawyer to see if they could stop them from coming out. Yes, Todd, they wanted to know if they could block the nasty letters, and do they have a case or no case. Your thought?
Good heavens.
Give me a president's name and you win 6 points if you get the case or no case right.
Well, you know, here's the problem.
I mean, now
I got to find out who was president before Coolidge. And I haven't a clue. I mean, I got a name that keeps coming in. I know it's not right. But now it's one of those things where once you get a thought in your head, until you say it and use it, that's the only thing you're going to say. So I'm just going to say Polk just for the heck of it.
Good guess.
That's the only thing that comes to my mind. And by the way, for those out there, I said, why don't you just look it up on your laptop?
Oh, no.
Well, we can't do that. That's dirty pool here at Radio Law Talk. So the question here is, could the family prevent the release of the letters? Now, you said something interesting. You said that he wrote these letters, and when he ran for president, the paramour was going to use them. So were these letters that were written before he was in public office?
As he was a sitting senator.
Okay.
So he was a public official at that time.
I am shocked. I am absolutely shocked.
If you read the letters, you would be.
I am shocked that a public official, a member of the Senate no less, would have dared to engage in such behavior. I can't even say that with a straight face anymore. Look, I think that, obviously, I think this is a true scenario. I know that Benjamin Franklin, apparently.
The father of our country and several others, as it turns out. Yes.
More than just a country. So Benjamin Franklin was a prolific writer to various individuals. He said he had a penchant for women that were more advanced in age, but...
went to France, and I'm telling you, I don't know if he ever found his underpants.
Anyway. I will be the ambassador to France. Why are you speaking with the English accent? I don't know. Let me just tell you something. I was not trying to find electricity when I had to kite with the key.
I did it to get girls.
Yeah. And it worked.
By the way, the president's name, by the way.
Yes.
Warren G. Harding. Teapot Dome scandal. He was a corrupt human being, by his own admission.
Yeah. His name was Harding.
Harding.
Great. Okay.
Not Tom.
Well, I say it's a scenario, but there was no case.
Okay. Well, guess what?
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
There was a case.
Oh.
And the family gets sort of a win. Following the death of Ms. Phillips, the family took the letters to the Library of Congress, and they held them there until this came up because they were just recently released. So now you can go to the Library of Congress and you can read the letters where the senator refers to his, you know, and her, you know, and all that. It's all right there.
So let me get this straight. They filed a lawsuit and were able to prevent the release, or what lawsuit was filed?
Well, let me see if I can get this right, because I'm having trouble seeing my screen because my eyes are going bad on me. Anyway, that a court battle that pitted Philip's daughter against Isabel against the families of Warren G. Harding. The Library of Congress publicly opened the records March 29, 2014. In subsequent legal action, the libraries joined the Hardings and received a temporary restraining order for them to not be released until July 2024. And they were just released and made publicly available. So if you want to see the machinations of an old-fashioned, barely post-Victorian era love letter that is very sexual in its nature, you can do that.
I wonder if they use the language like like Shakespeare used.
Yes, they did.
My mind doth think of thee often in glowing terms.
Only he didn't say mind. My Jameson thinks of thee. I mean, it's just
the crazy. Loins yearneth for what the loins yearneth. I cannot. Oh, good heavens. Now I'm going to have to go read the letters.
Yeah, and read up on the story. It really is a fascinating piece of history.
We're coming up on our bottom of the hour break. When we come back, we're going to talk about a crime lord in the Philippines and a lawsuit or a criminal prosecution for some of his henchmen and how the Supreme Court weighed in when we come back.
Thanks, Todd. And next hour on Case or No Case, we're going to take you to Maine, where a convenience store gets charges filed against it because it opened on Thanksgiving. Serious business. Next on Radio Law Talk, right here. Stay tuned.
Radio Law Talk and RadioLawTalk.com.
The commercials and other announcements aired on Radio Law Talk contain the opinions of the sponsor. The airing of said announcements on Radio Law Talk does not constitute an endorsement. The announcements may contain claims that are not intended to treat, diagnose, or cure any disease.
These claims have not been evaluated by the FDA.
My name is Frederick Penny of Penny & Associates Injury Lawyers. I've assembled an excellent team of highly experienced personal injury trial lawyers. We understand the other side, which gives us a distinct advantage over our competition. At Penny & Associates, we will aggressively represent you and your family when someone has been injured in an accident. Remember, we don't get paid unless we win.
For a free initial consultation, go to PennyLawyers.com or call 1-800-616-4LAW and ask for Frederick, Stuart, Rob, Kevin, Kent, or Will. That's Frederick Penny at Penny & Associates Injury Lawyers, 1-800-616-4LAW.
If you're one of those independent people who wants your own business and you love food service, we just might have a great opportunity for you. Iceberg Drive-Ins. Iceberg is famous for its thick shakes and delicious food. We lend you our supply chain and expertise, and you can potentially have a thriving, successful, fun business that your customers will love. Iceberg Drive-Ins has some prime areas available right now, so if you're interested, get in touch with us right away. Go to icebergdrivein.com and click on the...
This is Denise Dirks. We can represent clients in divorce, legal separation, child and spousal support, custody, termination of parental rights, step-parent adoptions, guardianships, and even conservatorship matters. Call 1-877-886-7186 for a consultation.
The law offices of Denise L. Dirks provide family law services in Northern California. When the law affects your family, call 877-886-7186. The family of attorneys at Denise L. Dirks is here to help.
This is Frederick Penny, host of Radio Law Talk. I'm excited to announce myself and Mark Victor Hansen, the author of the famous Chicken Soup for the Soul, collaborate to bring this three-book series, Goose. Book one is about William Collins. Goose is the perfect gift for yourself, family, friend, or someone you care about. Great stories, lifelong lessons that you can apply to your life to help you to become successful.
Goose by Frederick W. Penny, available on...
U.S.
State News update. After the Supreme Court strikes down President Biden's student debt forgiveness plan, he unveils new steps to protect borrowers.
First, I'm announcing today a new path consistent with today's ruling to provide student debt relief to as many borrowers as possible, as quickly as possible.
One of the plaintiffs, Elaine Parker of the conservative group Job Creators Network, was very happy with the High Court's ruling.
It's really a great victory for our Constitution.
In a 6-3 decision, the justices ruled Biden overstepped his authority when he didn't get authorization from Congress. The plan would have canceled $20,000 in loans for people who got Pell Grants, which is aid for low-income students, or up to $10,000 for all other federal borrowers. It is a headache for air travelers this 4th of July weekend after 8,000 flights were affected yesterday. FlightAware reports 1,700 are delayed this morning and more than 100 canceled. Jeremy Scott, USA News.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. That's 800-524-3810.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
That is Armadillo.
This is a great time to call the show. 855 Law Radio. That's 855 Law Radio.
So, when we went to break, it was right on the heels of Cal and his case or no case about the love letters written by former President Warren G. Harding to his paramour, Carrie Phillips. Now, this is back, they had a relationship, apparently. This is all from my crack 5.5 minutes of research. Okay.
Just don't charge me by the minute. That's all I ask. Okay, go ahead.
So they had a romantic relationship from 1905 to 1920. Yep. Can you think of something significant that happened around that same era?
You mean World War One?
Yes.
Oh, wait. Was she a sympathizer with a foreign country, they thought?
Yes. Hmm. She wrote... she was in Germany. She was German. She wrote that it would be a betrayal for the United States to side with the interests of Great Britain. She was pro-German the whole time, and there are some historians that believe that Phillips was actually a spy for Germany. And here she is. That's what makes it scary. She, you know, throw a little bit of tawdry language and activities in, and there you go. It's a James Bond film.
And pillow talk. And nasty, nasty letters. I mean,
so I started looking at, there was one website, I think ABC had a posting of the top 10 sexy things that were from the love letters, and I'm not going to read what they are.
Oh, go ahead.
All I'm going to do is say this: that if let's put it this way, if Cardi B pop star Cardi B with
we're writing an Emmy award-winning song.
If she were to try to claim that anybody infringed on ideas that became some of her most explicit songs, I think as a defense, those people could say, "Well, you just read the Harding letters."
Isn't it interesting?
Oh my! I mean, that's just and interesting names too. But you know that has
exactly
yes
subject him to blackmail. This is another reason that in our government we want people to be pristine, free from affairs, free from anything that could lead them to blackmail or someone coming through the back door and unduly influencing government.
Yeah, we want that. However,
doesn't work.
Well, here's the thing with that, you know, and I get that, and I'm certainly not advocating for less than, you know, moral and good behavior. But the other side of that coin, the double edge of that sword is imposing upon people the standard of, okay, you've got to be perfect in order to be in government life. And nobody's perfect, and everybody has something that, regardless of what it is, objectively, subjectively, they're embarrassed by. And if it comes out, now you get, now you end up with a government run by not the most pristine people, but by people that are the best at hiding it. And that becomes problematic.
Another one that stuck with me is during the Clinton administration, a potential cabinet appointee was interviewed. And he said, "I experimented with drugs." And the FBI agent, in a moment of cleverness, said, "Well, what were your conclusions?"
It cracks me up in people's, "Well, I experimented. Did you put on a lab coat? Can't you, well, you know, before I inhale that marijuana, let me put on the white lab coat and get the protective goggles. Do we have the acid wash bath over there ready to go?"
Who has my notebook? Who's keeping notes on this for me?
What are we using as our control group? We're putting Jerry in the placebo group again. He's always there. All right. Well, anyway. That was all interesting about Warren G.
It's
Harding.
It's fascinating.
So,
yeah.
But let me tell you about a man named Paul LaRoux, LaRoux. Paul LaRoux.
LaRoux.
Yes.
Like gravy, roux.
Sure. Paul LaRoux was born in Zimbabwe and pretty much orphaned. Birth certificate does not list the name of his parents. He was adopted. He was born in 72. He was adopted and raised in South Africa. And in his teen years, in the 80s, he took to computers and really enjoyed that and got into a little bit of trouble, but got out of it and became, wasn't much for formal education, but he was pretty good with computers. He created a software called, what is it, E4M, and that is encryption software that essentially allowed an entire disk to be encrypted and passed along, which would give then the person that possessed the disk plausible deniability about its contents. And, well, at the early days of the Internet and when the government started investigating things, that was pretty popular software. Well, that led to something else, which led to something else. And to make a long story short, the next thing you know, the guy is as rich as and wealthy as can be, but he maintained and gained most of that wealth by turning to a life of crime and just became a crime lord living in the Philippines, right? And as most crime lords, if you watch movies, would do, they like to take out their enemies. And I'm not talking about taking out to a fine meal. Anybody who they believe crosses them, they
become a mortal enemy and pay the price with their life, right?
Exactly.
Gotcha. Okay.
And on one such occasion, back in, when was it, the early 2011, 2020, maybe 2013, along there, there was a real estate agent that he believed had crossed him in a big deal, real estate agent in the Philippines. You ever wonder what happens to some people that leave the military? They're highly specialized as snipers or special forces, and now they're out there. Well, he hired three individuals that had decided to hang out their shingle, so to speak, in the "we can help you as hitmen" category. And those folks went over to the Philippines and for a day and a half went around looking at properties, potential properties, riding in the same van with this real estate agent. And after they had looked at the same properties, these properties for a day and a half. As they were driving back, the mood turned quickly. While one person was driving, the person in the passenger seat turned around and shot the real estate agent in the face five times.
This will be your final showing.
Yes, yes.
Wow.
We do not agree to the 6% fee.
Cut it in half. Okay, that's it. We'll cut you in half. Got it. All right. Wow. So that's pretty strong.
And these two guys, the two guys were hired by the third. The third was not in the car with them. The two guys were from Kentucky. They flew to the Philippines, did the job, went back to Kentucky, and after a long investigation, they were eventually arrested and prosecuted in United States court, even though it happened in the Philippines, under the law that allows for criminal activities that are conspired and originate in the United States, even though they're committed on foreign soil. And here's why we're talking about this, because the two guys, the one guy who is the trigger man and the guy who's driving the car, were prosecuted, and the court, during the trial court, was faced with a particular dilemma. And the dilemma was, well, the guy driving made a statement when the investigation was going on, and the statement was this. Yeah, I was driving, and Smith, I think the guy's, Sammy was driving, and Smith was in the passenger seat, and Smith turned around and shot the real estate agent in the face. Right? That was his statement. Now, Cal, if I was just prosecuting Samia for conspiracy,
yeah,
and he says, okay, I was in the car, I was driving, and I was there when she was shot, the other guy shot her in the face. If I'm prosecuting the driver, can I use his statement against him even though he doesn't testify? It's hearsay.
I would say if he didn't use it in open court, my first impulse would be, based on what I learned from Todd and Fred and Denise on Radio Law Talk, hearsay testimony is not admissible. It's what somebody else heard somebody else say.
That's true. Here is the exception.
Uh-oh.
If the hearsay statement was made by a party opponent, this is the United States versus Samia. So Samia is a party opponent. He's not going to testify, but it's his statement. Because it was made by him, it is admissible as an exception to the hearsay rule.
Isn't that, in effect, having him testify against him? No, it is not.
He didn't have to.
Not against himself, the other guy, right. No.
Wow. So the long and short of it is, in any time that you're the subject of an investigation, that's how they get statements of DUI defendants in. We've got all this videotaped statements that they made. Well, the defendant's not going to testify, but it's still admissible because they're a party opponent at trial, and it comes in against him. We're going to a break, but I want you to think about this. Sure, it's admissible against Samia, but was it also admissible against the co-defendant? The co-defendant never made that statement. And what dilemma does that raise if it's introduced? And that's what the U.S. Supreme Court had to address, and we'll talk about what they decide when we come back.
That's why those judges get the fancy building and the big money. They get to make the tough calls, and we'll find out what they did after this as we listen to Radio Law Talk with Todd Kunin. Stay tuned, because the big broadcast will continue in just a little bit.
Commercials and other announcements aired on Radio Law Talk contain the opinions of the sponsor. The airing of said announcements on Radio Law Talk does not constitute an endorsement. The announcements may contain claims that are not intended to treat, diagnose, or cure any disease.
These claims have not.
You've been hearing Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients, keeping the body healthy. GCNteam.com now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine tablets, 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 auric points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com. That's 877-878-4203.
Hi, this is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and best-selling author on safety and preparedness. The fact is, things are getting downright scary for everyone who's storing their wealth in the banks. We just saw the collapse of three major banks, and I would urge you to consider protecting your wealth ASAP. If even a tiny percentage of Americans attempt to withdraw their savings, we would see a collapse of the entire banking system, sending us into a modern-day Great Depression. Fortunately, there is a way for you to avoid this. It starts with contacting Advantage Gold. If you have an IRA or 401k, Advantage Gold can help convert those paper assets into physical gold and silver. This is the process that I recommend everybody use as a hedge against rapid inflation and to protect your retirement wealth from the banks. Take control of your financial safety today. Call 800-900-8000 to get your free gold investment kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
All right, crew, let's get her dug.
Honey, you want to give me a hand? I'm planting that tree, remember?
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. You must call 811 at least 2 to 3 business days before any digging project so you can avoid hitting our essential buried utilities. This includes natural gas and petroleum pipelines, electric, communication cables, and water and sewer lines. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811. Brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
This is no fun. That's true.
Email the show anytime you'd like. info@radiolawtalk.com. I-N-F-O. Info.
Info.
At radiolawtalk.com.
So we were talking about the admissibility of statements of a co-defendant made by one co-defendant against the other co-defendant. We talked about the hearsay rule that would allow the statement to be admitted against the person that said it if they were tried alone. But and I need to correct myself. I said it was Samia and Smith. It was Samia and Stillwell. So Samia was driving. Stillwell was the alleged trigger man. And the question is whether or not Samia's statement, yeah, I was driving the car, Stillwell turned around and shot her, right? And can that come in? And at the trial level, and even the Supreme Court agrees with this, the statement unaltered as it is probably cannot come in against the co-defendant because there's a confrontation clause in the Constitution that allows – that's what cross-examination is based on. You're allowed to confront your witnesses, and if a statement comes in and you can't cross-examine the person that said it, and the statement comes in against you and you have no ability to cross-examine, well, that violates the Constitution. In the past, one way...
Unless you're a traffic signal, you know, camera, but that's a different thing.
Well, Cal, you're going far.
I know.
Cal got a ticket a long time ago. He thinks it's a bunch of garbage. But a statement, by the way, the reason why that wouldn't necessarily be hearsay is because a statement is a statement by a person.
Okay.
And a traffic camera is not a person.
So in this case, one guy claimed the other guy did the deed.
Yes. And so what the court said was, well, you clearly, they couldn't just put a transcript of the statement up for the jury and use the deleted portion, the blank, so, which would read like, yes, and blank, redacted, turned around and shot so-and-so in the face, because by context, if they had asked the guy four questions earlier, so who were you riding in the car with? I was riding in the car with Stillwell. Okay, what happened then? Ben Blank turned around and shot. Well, there were only three people in the car. One got a bullet. There was you. We know that statement is Stillwell, right? They can't say that. So,
what corroborating evidence did they have of that?
Well, let me get to what they said could happen, and then we'll talk about corroborating evidence. And this is where the court... I'll tell you, when I first read this, my thought was, oh, my gosh, I don't necessarily think that I agree with this, but it is what it is now because this is a U.S. Supreme Court decision. Because it went up, Samia was convicted, the statement was allowed in because the trial court said, here's what we're going to let the officer who's testifying do. Because the officer is the one saying, this is what Samia said, right? The investigator says, well, rather than using Stillwell's name, we're going to let the investigator refer to Stillwell as the other guy, quote, the other guy. So the statement reads this way. So then Samia said the other guy turned around and
shot the realtor.
And shot the realtor.
Wow.
And the U.S. Supreme Court said, okay, with that fix, it doesn't violate the rights of Stillwell under the Confrontation Clause.
Now, that, to me, is cutting a pretty thin slice of cheese off the brick.
It's too much if we give them a statement with the name redacted. But because we think that by saying redacted, they're going to be able to contextually, based upon evidence, show that that was Stillwell's statement. But saying the other guy
won't have the same
effect. Somehow the jury is just, well, you know, we can't jump through the same mental hoops to come to that conclusion.
Was he convicted? Were they?
Oh, yeah, they were convicted. Oh. Now, I'll say this. The court went to great lengths to talk about the history of LaRue. That's why I went into it, how bad a guy he was and everything that happened here. And nobody is crying for these particular defendants. But my concern is that it appears, just from my two cents, to be a ruling that justifies the conviction of some really bad people without much thought about how this is going to play out down the road when people have statements brought in against them and they're not really bad people and there are significant questions about whether or not they were actually involved.
So the rights of the defendants we don't cry for could compromise the right of every subsequent defendant, no matter what.
Absolutely.
In following cases. Wow.
Absolutely.
That's a stunning thing.
But look, so at first blush, it was like, oh my. By the way, we're... Yes, thank you. Cal held up the sign 30 seconds. That's really?
Eventually. I didn't say when, to be
yes,
fair.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
But I get the problem that the prosecution faces as well, because this is a conspiracy case. If you're trying two co-defendants at the same time and you have an admission without some way to get in the statement, you'd be hard-pressed to find any scenario where you'd ever be able to introduce a statement if you're trying two people at the same time with one jury. I mean, you would never be able to bring in a confession in a conspiracy case.
Had they recorded that, the reason I brought up traffic camera facetiously was, had they recorded that statement, could they play the statement of the other guy on video and therefore firmly establish who said it and when?
Well, they could have. The problem is you run into the same problem. This is Samia's statement that the jury – by the way, there was another instruction. The jury was instructed – this is the don't pay attention to the elephant in the room.
Right.
The jury was instructed – by the way, that statement you heard from Samia, you should not use in your deliberations against Stilwell.
Or whatever.
You should only use them in deliberations against Samia. Like the that's like saying you should only swim in the chlorine section of the pool. There's a non-chlorinated section of the same pool. You are to stay out of that section.
Ignore your pants on fire.
Yes. Right. And you know, I looked at this and I thought, okay, the other problem that I had with is that the Supreme Court talked about the need to be able to present this kind of evidence for purposes of judicial convenience and prosecutorial convenience, because, boy, it would just be too much if we had to bring in separate juries. One jury hears one evidence against one person and another jury hears, or if we had to do separate trials. But my thought here is, you know, this is a basic fundamental right. We send people to die for that. And you're telling me that impaneling two juries is too much?
It's not about their convenience. It's about the rights of the accused and the victim, mostly the accused in the case. This is confusing to me.
That's true. And for my two cents, I look at it and I say, look, the ball's in the prosecution's court.
Prove your case.
If the prosecution chooses to run two trials at the same time as opposed to trying the defendant separately, if the prosecution chooses, then they run the risk of not having being able to present certain evidence in a conspiracy case against one person and not the other. And if you don't want that, it's not like we don't have the money, folks. There is a large budget on the Fed. This is a federal prosecution. There's a lot of money on the federal level. And if you want to prosecute a case like this.
And they've got a lot of free COVID money lying around in a bucket.
If you want to prosecute a case like this, then you're going to have to do separate trials because the one statement shouldn't be considered by the jury or even presented to the jury against the other. But that's what we're dealing with now. Now, really quickly, I talked about Bitcoin.
Yeah.
All right, and the reason I talked about LaRue as the henchman that, or the crime lord that hired these guys, it is widely believed the person that came up with Bitcoin is a person who's never been identified in real life named Satoshi. And it is widely believed that LaRue is Satoshi, and he's the one that created Bitcoin. It would certainly fit along with his criminal dealings of being able to make money transfers that are basically difficult to easy to launder, but he's the one who came up with it. And the reason they say that was when LaRue was finally caught and dropped off the map, that's the same time people stopped hearing from Satoshi.
Wow.
And it is definitely something that would have been within his realm of capability to create.
So what became of LaRue? Is he still around? What's the deal
with him? He was finally sentenced after working as an informant for the government for several years. And that's our first hour of Radio Law Talk, folks. When we come back, we got another case or no case, so we're going to get into the Rust case and Kevin Spacey and a bunch of other stuff. Don't go away.
You don't want to miss a minute of Radio Law Talk, and it continues at 6 minutes after the next hour on this great local radio station and always for free on RadioLawTalk.com. We'll continue with the big broadcast at 6 after. Stay tuned.
You have been listening to RadioLawTalk.com, a copyrighted presentation of Radio Law Talk Incorporated.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at GCNLive.com. That's advertise at GCNLive.com.